The odds against success were tremendous. The American music business was fiercely competitive in 1924. Guy's band didn't have a distinctive style. Its earliest recordings, made 4 months after their departure from London, Ontario, reveal a competent but unremarkable jazz group with none of the traces of the now famous Lombardo sound. As things stood, the band was on the road to nowhere. Welcome to Dead Wax 78s. Hey, I'm your host, Sean, and this is the podcast where, you know, we're going to talk about all kinds of things, old-timey music and forgotten artists. This episode is on Guy Lombardo and the Royal Canadians. The Lombardo family lived in a small house on Queen's Avenue in the town of London, Ontario. Lombardo, Guy, was the eldest of seven children, five boys, two girls, born between 1902 and 1924. Lombardo's parents demanded that their children not speak Italian at home, believing that they would be more enabled to integrate with English-speaking culture of a pre-World War I Canada if they were not burdened with the dependence on the Italian language. Of Lombardo's children, five, Guy, Carmen, Liebert, Victor, and Rosemarie, would establish music careers. Guy once said that his father wanted all his children to have an education in music, and because Guy was the eldest, he was given violin lessons, since the violin player was always the band leader. The young Lombardo was given the role that he would continue to play for the rest of his life, with the Guy Lombardo Orchestra. In 1927, his group had their first national radio broadcast, and by 1929, he was fronting the house band at New York's legendary Roosevelt Grill, along with his brother Carmen, who played lead saxophone. Lombardo's orchestra played regularly at the Roosevelt for the next 33 years, and until it closed down. After that, the Lombardos took their band to the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, where they became famous for their New Year's Eve concerts. In particular, they were known for their version of Auld Lang Syne. The three brothers remembered their father's advice. Music is easy to play and easy to listen to if you don't forget the melody and choose songs that people can sing, hum, or whistle. Gradually, the Lombardo style, which was really no style at all, the band began to offer dancers the songs, melodies, unadorned by arrangements or improvisation. It was a hard sell for a bunch of would-be jazzmen, though. The secret of the whole thing that Guy discovered was his brother, Carmen, had a unique tone of that of his alto saxophone. When the three sax players blew, they all seemed to blend in with Carmen, and with this unique tone, there was a beautiful sound. Lombardo created a big band sound that was characterized by the exaggerated saxophone, vibrato, clip brass sound, and a unique vocal styling that was finally the band leader's own. Here's part one, Charmaine, 1927. Vocals by Weston Vaughn on Columbia. Mm-hmm.
wonder if I keep on praying. Will our dreams be the same? I wonder if you ever think of me too. I am waiting, my Charmaine, for you.
Lombardo's band got its start in 1914 when Carmen, playing flute, joined Guy on violin to perform a duet at the local Mothers Club. Eventually, brothers Liebert joined the group, along with pianist Freddie Kreitzer. And on June 22, 1919, the band was scheduled to play its first professional gig at the Lakeview Casino in Grand Bend, Ontario. But after the club's owner refused to give the band an hour off for dinner, claiming that his customers paid to hear the band perform and not watch them eat, that ended badly, and that was the end of that. Lombardo's father took his sons home, and he advised them to find another line of work. However, the affair smoothed over, and within several months, the Lombardo brothers had quit school and were working as full-time musicians. They got no argument about that from their father, who had always told them that music is a light load to carry. In spring 1923, the Lombardo brothers were hired as the house band for the Hopkins Casino at Port Stanley on Lake Erie. Carmen Lombardo, who by this time was playing saxophone with a Detroit band, quit so he could join his brothers. After the band started its second season at the London, Ontario Winter Gardens, the 21-year-old guy decided that the group was wasting its time in Canada. Within a few weeks, he obtained the name of a Cleveland, Ohio booking agent and talked his way into a one-night stand at an Ohio Elks club. Meanwhile, he let his friends back in London, Ontario think that he'd booked an American vaudeville tour. Following the band's final performance in London, Ontario on November 24, 1923, the 10-member group was seen off at the train station by about 100 well-wishers. In spite of the lateness of the hour, many were willing to lose sleep to wish the local band good luck. By the time the band returned to Ontario in 1927, Guy Lombardo and the Royal Canadians were already poised for success. Here's part two, Singing in the Bathtub, from the film Show of Shows, 1929.
Once again, watching all the troubles go swinging down the drain. Drip, drip, drip. Never take a shower, it's an awful pain. Singing in the shower's like singing in the rain.
all there's dirt to be among it. But don't forget one thing, while the body's washed and polished.
Sing, brother, sing.
You can yodel opera, even while you scrub. Everybody's happy when singing in the tub.
I don't know about you, but I can't help stop thinking about Bugs Bunny singing that tune for some reason.
Singing in the bathtub.
In 1923, the odds of this band would make it big were slim. Fiercely competitive in the U.S., music industry was particularly unforgiving for any new talent that had not established a unique, distinctive sound. Although composed of talented musicians, Lombardo's jazz band didn't yet have that sound in 1923 to set them apart from the competition. Recalling advice from their father, who had urged the sons to play music that you can sing, hum, or whistle, the brothers began performing dance music with the pronounced melodies and without arrangement. The music appealed to the well-to-do audiences of late 1920s and reportedly to even a few Prohibition-era gangsters. Although the Lombardo brothers were convinced that, given the competition, they would never succeed by playing beat-heavy, improvised Dixieland jazz, the other members of the band felt that their creative abilities were stifled by switching to dance music. Although they were just first reluctant to go along, the Lombardos won them over. Guy Lombardo was particularly enthusiastic when he discovered that his brother Carmen, with his unique tone that blended extremely well with the rest of the sax players, you know what? That was result was money in the bank. By the time Guy Lombardo and the Royal Canadians arrived at the Grenada House in Chicago in the fall of 1927, it had ceased to be a London, Ontario group. And from Grenada, it went on to land the engagement at the city's Plaza Theater, a gig paying $4,000 a week. The music critic for the Herald Examiner there described the performance as one where he listened to the sweetest jazz men on any stage this side of heaven. In 1929, Lombardo's band made its first appearance at the Roosevelt Hotel in New York City, later to be the home of its live broadcast and a CBS radio network. In 1929, Lombardo's band made its first appearance at the Roosevelt Hotel in New York City, later to be the home of its live broadcast on the CBS radio network. Although during the band's heyday, rumors always circulated in Canada regarding the hometown concerts by the Royal Canadians, the band only made a handful of appearances back in Canada, where it began, but Lombardo never forgot his friends. However, when Canada's Thames River flooded in 1937, he staged a benefit for flood victims at the Detroit Fox Theater. The band opened his engagement with a rendition of Home Sweet Home, moving some of the audience to tears. Here's part three, 1937 Victor, another big hit for Lombardo, Boo Hoo.
Thank you.
Even by today's standards, the band's sales remain impressive. Between 1929 and 1952, there was no year that Lombardo discs didn't chart. 21 of those tunes would peak at number one. To date, the Royal Canadians are the only dance band to sell more than 100 million records. They recorded for Columbia, Brunswick, Decca, Victor, Vocalation, Capitol. The Lombardos are believed to have sold between 100 and 300 million records during their lifetime. But by the 1950s, all those Bobby Soxers were calling the band music square. Popular singer Bing Crosby once commented that Lombardo and the Royal Canadians had achieved their continued success with only one single arrangement. Some took to calling Guy Gooey Lumbago, while others derided Lombardo as the Schmaltz King, Prince of Wales, and the King of Corn. Despite perhaps more than their share of haters, Guy Lombardo and the Royal Canadians outlived most of their critics. The band continued to appeal to a large number of listeners who appreciated pure melody. Musicians like Louis Armstrong, Louis Prima, Ella Fitzgerald each counted themselves among Lombardo's fans, and the band set a record for audience attendance like at Harlem Savoy Ballroom. In addition to his recordings, Lombardo himself appeared in several movies, including Many Happy Returns in 1934, Stage Door Canteen 1943, and No Leave, No Love 1946. So besides his career as an entertainer, he also made a number of successful business investments. And in his after hours, he was an avid speedboat racer holding a title of national champion in the late 1940s. Here's part four, Red Sails in the Sunset, Decca 1935, and the vocals by Common Lombardo.
Thank you. sails in the sunset, way out on the sea. Oh, carry my loved one home safely to me. He sailed at the dawning, all day I've been blue. Red sails in the sunset, I'm trusting in you. Swift wings you must borrow, make straight for the shore. We marry tomorrow, and he goes sailing no more. Red sails in the sunset, way out on the sea. Oh, carry my loved one home safely to me.
Now, Carmen Lombardo, who created the band's signature sound, died of cancer in 1971. Carmen's death left Guy professionally and emotionally shattered, as Guy had been closer to Carmen than any of his other siblings. The band made its last appearance in London, Ontario in June 1977 at an event where no one on the dance floor appeared to be younger than 50 years old. November 5, 1977, Guy Lombardo died in Houston, Texas, having reached the age of 75. In the years since Lombardo's death, Auld Lang Syne has remained North America's traditional music accompaniment to the passing of each year. The last musical Lombardo brother, Victor Lombardo, passed away in 1994. Thank you for listening. This has been Dead Wax 78s, and I'm your host, Sean. And I hope you enjoyed the show. And guess what? I'm going to catch you on the flip side.